The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 12, 2019.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Indeed, today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May we know God in us, God with us, and may we know that God seeks to work through us to touch lives, to change lives, and to make a difference in our communities and in the world. Indeed, today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we truly do thank you for every good gift and grace that you give us. And Father, we would ask that you let us see the good that is around us, the good that is going on and being done, that you would let us see even the smallest of blessings in our lives and celebrate them with you. May we now worship you in spirit and in truth as we turn our hearts towards you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We have before us this morning the most read, published, written, and repeated passage of Scripture in the world today. It is the number one, and has been for a long time. And it is David's writing. It is the one confirmed book that we know that King David, the David of Israel, the second king of Israel, wrote. Now, what is it about this psalm that makes it so special? It's short, right? You know, we like short scriptures. How many of you ever had to memorize scripture in vacation Bible school? I always wanted the one Jesus wept, but it always got took. But I think that we as Christians would do well to remember three things from our Bible. We shouldn't have to go to it for these three things. Number one is, of course, the Lord's Prayer. And I would encourage us to say that prayer every day, but change it from our Father to my Father who art in heaven. Make it personal. The other thing is Psalm 23. I think that if you can put this one under your belt, it'll inform your faith and give you courage and hope. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But the other one is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On that one verse of Scripture, you can evangelize lost people and give them hope. On Psalm 23, you can comfort anyone. And with the Lord's Prayer, you can pray for them. You're equipped to do the work of an evangelist by memorizing three things. This David character, though, was just that. He was a character. And I am so grateful for the honesty of the Old Testament, as it didn't hide anything. It could have, but it didn't. But we've got David, who is the only person in the Bible who God says is a man after my own heart. David is the only one who God says is a man after my own heart. And it was God's promise to David that it would be the kingdom of David from which Jesus would come, and it would be the continuation of the kingdom of David that Jesus would cause to happen. And it would be a kingdom, God said, that would never end. So we know it must be an eternal kingdom. So you've got this guy, David, who was an adulterer. Yeah, an affair with Bathsheba, remember that? A murderer, remember that? He had Uriah the Hittite killed. This is David who was the king of Israel. This is who God said was a man after his own heart. You have this David who was grew up as a sheep herder, a shepherd. So David is very familiar with this shepherd metaphor he uses here in this green pastures and things we'll talk about. But you've got this shepherd. He was thought to have been the least likely candidate to be a king, almost the opposite of Saul. David, do you remember David was famous for something before he became king of Israel? What was it? Slaying Goliath. Now, do you remember the whole story? David goes to put on Saul's armor, and what happens? It falls off. It's too big. It just won't fit. Do you remember, how did he slay Goliath? With a slingshot. Folks, you need to understand, this ain't that thing you buy up at the park with the little bear carved on it. We're not talking about one of them little inner tube kind of slingshots we made as kids out of a forked stick that always bound up blistering our wrist, or hitting our thumb, or breaking and coming back and poking it. It's all fun and games until somebody gets an eye poked out, right? Yeah, that's the way Granny always said. So it was a slingshot, literally. And they would get this thing going, and in the hand of a shepherd, they could kill a wolf with this slingshot. This was not a toy. In the hand of a shepherd, this was a weapon. How many stones did he take? Three. Three. Why did he think he was going to miss? Right. Goliath had two brothers. He thought, if I kill that one, I might as well get them other two. They'll be coming after me. And I know my size, and they're great big. So you've got David, mighty warrior in a small package, facing uncertain odds. You've got David, who became a great general and leader of armies, but messed up his whole family life. He was a mess. Read it. All he did is crazy things. Crazy things were done. There was all kinds of scheming going on. But this is a man after God's own heart. And this is the author of Psalm 23. And let's see if we can find out from Psalm 23 why David was to be considered, and we too, to be a man after God's own heart. For us today, someone after God's own heart. It starts out in David's declaration of faith that should be ours. David starts out with an acclamation of, "The Lord is my shepherd." That means that David was subject to God. But it also meant one other thing. The very king of Israel, this man after God's own heart, this man who, confronted with his sins, repented and tried to turn things around, this man who just penned this, "The Lord is my shepherd," is actually saying, "I'm a sheep." This man who ruled the kingdoms, commanded armies, the power to push Uriah Hittite to the front of the lines, the rise and fall of nations. This man who enacted treaties with all the surrounding countries while he wasn't allowed, because of the blood of Uriah, to build the temple. The stones were hewn under David. The timbers were harvested and brought in through the port of Joppa. All the pieces were there for the building of the temple that his son Solomon would build. David knew a time of peace throughout the land of Israel. This mighty king just said, "I'm a sheep, and God is my shepherd." He just said, "I need God." That's what makes him a man after God's own heart. David knew he could be a mess, and he knew that he needed God. And then he goes on to say, "Because I am his sheep, and because he is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, God will supply that which I need. God will supply it. I trust, I believe in that. How many of you know much about sheep? Ethel does. They're big, woolly, fuzzy things, right? Have you ever been around one? They stink. I'm amazed they can get that stink out of that wool. Did you know that if a sheep isn't trimmed on a regular basis, it'll actually die? It has to be. It'll become wool bound to the point that it can't even move. You should look it up on YouTube. They've actually got one on there that when they took its wool off, it weighed nearly 450 pounds, the wool. Not the sheep, it was almost dying. But the heat and then the stuff that gets in it. But they're also not known for being really smart. You know, if they get in danger, they get in a circle and they turn their noses in. They stick their butts out. And I think that the wolves walk around then and go, "Which pork chop do I like the best?" And they pick it out. And they pull it out, and they just close ranks. You know, "I'm glad they got old Jim. He had the best pork chops." "Yep, that's right. I'm glad it wasn't me, you know, this time, you know. Oops, they got Betty too." Yeah, scoochy, and Betty's gone. So that's the way they are. And they'll just go, you know. You have to take them. They will actually stay in a place and eat it till there's nothing left and starve. You got to move them. You got to shepherd them. You got to shepherd them. They'll eat that area out until there is no more. So David says, "I am your shepherd." No, he says, "I am your sheep." He's the king. He could have said that, couldn't he? But he didn't. And he says, "I know that God, you will give me what I need," but it's also a confession that I don't know what I need. It's also a confession that I don't know what is healthy for me. I don't know which is the direction I should go. "I shall not want, for he makes me lie down in green pastures." In other words, he makes David calm down. Take time off and rest. To take time alone with God. Every one of us needs to take time with God when we turn off the cell phone, turn off the radio, turn off the computers, turn off the television, turn off the noise, get it out of our head, out of our ear, get our Bibles out and our knee pads on, and spend time with God. This is green pastures, by the way. We should take the time to spend time with God. Because I've got news for you. What does God want for you? The best. God wants you to know His love, His provision, and His peace. If you don't spend time with Him, how will you know it? How many of you think you can outdo God's abilities? Man, my best day is nothing compared to God's worst day. You know, He can calm a storm, and that's just, you know, be still. You know, and go on. A hurricane, move that over a little. You know, never mind, just let it diffuse. Who am I? I'm glad to be a sheep myself. I shall not. Well, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. There is nothing that I can imagine a sheep wanting more than nice green grass. If you were a sheep, what would you want? Nice green grass. He leads me beside still waters. Did you know sheep won't drink out of moving water? You know why? They'll drown. That's right. Their nose is made in such a way that if they're drinking out of that running water, it'll actually go up into their sinuses and give them pneumonia and they die. If you go out and you find out where they're being herded and stuff, you'll find that either the shepherd has caused a pool to form or they'll get in there and hoof it out to where it's still so that they can drink. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows what I need to nourish me, and it's here. The still water reminds us of the cleansing of the baptisms. It reminds us of the thing that we need more than food, and that is water. And still water reminds us of that tranquility. Do you know of anything more calming than sitting by a lake that's crystal clear and watching the setting sun shimmer across its depths, to hear the gentle lapping of the water upon the shore. Still water. But it also reminds us that still water usually is deeper than the moving currents. You cause me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. And look what happens next. You restore my soul. Spending time with God as a sheep, not as a goat, but as a sheep, in His Word, nourished and in it, restores our soul. Folks, we all need that from time to time, don't we? Have you ever just felt like God had moved out and was gone? Was far away? Couldn't be found? He kind of spun this thing and said, I'll be back when it slows down. You know? Restores our soul. It restores our journey. We need it. Notice David moves then into he leads me in the right paths. Folks, there are a lot of options for people out there today. But God will lead us down the right path for His name's sake, for His purposes. Folks, you may think you know what will make you happy, but I got news for you. That's an illusion that the devil wants to prop up for you. He'll present you with every fancy thing, every shiny toy, and every... God will challenge you to grow. He'll challenge you to get out of the boxes, but He knows what's deep down in here. But you got to trust Him for it. I've noticed that as I talk to high school kids and a lot of people, and it seems to have been going this way, they're getting ready to go off to college. You know, it's that time of year, and you ask them, what do you want to be? They'll have any idea. They just start. They just go. And here's the thing. I'll go take some general education classes and I'll figure it out from there. Linda, did you ever hear that before? Lots and lots and lots. And then they've taken 2 years of college and they go, I still don't know. Got no direction. You got to ask God for direction. But you got to listen. You got to take the time. You got to be still and know He's God. You got to remember you're a sheep. You got to remember He's the shepherd. And you got to ask Him for direction. And I'm talking about direction in every part of our lives. Every single life. Before you buy a car. Before you sell a house. Ask God about it. Make sure you're doing the right thing the right way and for the right reasons. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths that make the right decisions, that keep us from making a mess. David said, I can make a mess. Just notice, when I took it over, I did wrong things. I did the wrong thing. Please lead me in the righteousness for your name's sake, that you may be honored, that you may be praised. God wants good for every one of us. God wants us to know His peace, His presence, and His blessings in our lives. He wants us to know the design He has for each one of us and the purpose He has for each one of us, which is far more than you could even imagine on your own. I've told you this before. I'm standing up here preaching a sermon this morning. I had a birthday yesterday. I'm surprised I had another one of them. Never thought I'd make it past 30 anyway. So that's why my body's in such bad shape. I thought I better not leave any of it behind, even at 30. So, y'all, here I am, another 30 in front of that, and I'm thinking, boy, I should have took it a little easy and got here a little better. That's just the way it is. Anybody else done that? You used it before you were done with it. You got there with you. That's just the way it is. But what? I'm a pastor in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Folks, this wasn't on the blip 30 years ago. Yeah, 30 years ago, I knew God wanted me to be a pastor, but I told Him what He could do with that offer. I did. I told Him what He could do with that offer. But guess what? I don't know anything else that I can do. Well, I know a lot of things I can do that I can do and have any peace. I never thought for one minute standing up here, preaching a message, would be me. Not once. I didn't like preachers, to be honest with you. It just was just the way it was. I got so tired of hearing, can I get a minister's discount? God called you, God will provide for you, and I'm not going to give it to you without God telling me to. Anyway, that was clear. Just the way it was. Do we really trust that? Folks, if you'll trust that, follow that, you'll know peace. And until you trust that and follow that, you won't know peace. You'll know unsettledness. You'll know uncertainty. You'll know doubt. And you may even know failure. Now he says, even though I walk through the darkest of valleys. Now the old King James says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not correct. They missed that one. It's beautiful and it sounds good, but it's not the right. It doesn't fit the Hebrew. It is this image of David going through the darkest times in his life. It is this image, and for us too, of going through these darkest times, the most difficult times, the most trying times. Because, church, I'm going to tell you, and I bet every one of you know this by now, there are things in life that you go through, that you endure, that are worse than dying. My daddy used to say, at least when you die, you go over it. You know, it's done. Going through months and months of chemotherapy is hard. Losing someone you love and being left behind to figure out all of what's different now. Going through this time of darkness, this difficulty, the diagnosis of cancer, the diagnosis was whatever, put whatever you want in the blank. The auto accident was horrible. The financial crisis destroyed me. The job market unemployed me. I got hurt and now I can't do what I used to do. The marriage has fallen apart. My kids won't speak to me. There's many tragedies and dark times that we can go through as individuals, and David knew that. And David said, oh, I go through these darkest periods of time. You are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. The shepherd carried two, not one, two. One was a long staff with a crook on it. That's the traditional one. And that was actually bent and curved so they could pull sheep up out of different holes and different brambles, as well as it had a map carved on it of the grazing fields and the tribes and the history and the travel. They marked the places where there was water and where there was grazing. And each shepherd, when they got into and they took the sheep in, they would compare those so that they wouldn't overgraze each other's areas. but he had a second one. It was called a staff, a stick, a rod. It's the rod of correction. Some people say no, it's the rod of protection. It was strapped across the back and was a heavy rod and was actually used to kill the animals that would attack the sheep. The staff was to give direction. The staff was to give comfort. The staff was to give a rescue. But the rod, protection. The rod to fight off the enemy. In other words, David knew, and he's going to say that in just a second. David knew that it was God's power, that it was God was with him through whatever he went through. And his rod and his staff, David knew that they were there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he says, I fear no evil. Folks, I got news for you. When evil catches you in the valley, it's going to come after you. When it catches you weak, it's going to come after you. When it catches you with your guard down, it's going to come after you. When it catches you without reading this, it's going to come after you. When it catches you off your knees, it's going to come after you. Folks, this is our word, but it's a defeated enemy. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, defeated hell, sin, and the grave. The devil's defeated. He'll only have the power you give him. He can only grow where you plant him. He can only cause trouble where you let him. God will take you through it. I like that old country song, if you're going through hell, keep on moving. You may get out before the devil knows you're there. You know, it's a moving target. Notice that's what he said. I'm going. I'm moving. Notice that this psalm is about moving and moving forward. Folks, be careful. You don't get stuck in the past. The past was a place where you learned your lesson, but you need to move forward. You need to move forward. You need to take on it and move on. Sometimes you got to let go. If you can't do anything about it, you can't get forgiveness, you can't get peace, you just have to let go. You've been there, haven't you? Don't take it with you. You can't carry it, and it'll slow you down. Give it to God. Give it to God. Somebody did you wrong? Forgive them. Move on. You need to forgive them as much as you need forgiven. Move on. Don't hold it against them. I have a friend of mine. He's reliving something. Every time I talk to the man, he brings it up again. He is stuck in that loop that just won't ever end. It just keeps going and going and going and going. And it comes back to that same thing. And that's the loop the devil wants you in. You can't move forward. You can't move back. You're stuck. You can't grow. You can't reach out. You can't change. You can't make differences. You're stuck. And the only conversation you can have is in that thing. Time to move on and let God move you on. You notice this psalmist moves. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the darkest times of my life, you are with me. Church, there's some times when we've got to do the Jerry Clare thing, got to shake it off, stomp on it, and move on. Step on out there. Let it go. Don't forget the lessons you learned or you'll have to learn them again. But don't let them hold you where they are. I'm trying to hurry. I know I'm on overtime. Now you know. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There it is. There's that provision. In the midst of all the enemies, David, don't worry about it. You prepared a table before me. You set the table. You provided. You laid it out. Not only that. Look at this. You anointed my head with oil. You picked me. You chose me. You've delivered me. I'm a sheep. You picked me to make an example out of me and to use me. You anointed my head with oil. I am yours and you are mine. You've put the table out there. They can't do anything. They can't take it away. They can't steal it. In church, I got news for you. The devil can't take it from you either unless you give it to him. Now as he's been anointed, that's a sign of God's provision, God's choice, God's sanctification. It is what God does for us, not what we do for God. He's the shepherd, remember? And he said, you anointed my head with oil and my blessings overflow. Folks, we need to get out of the dark, deep pits of despair and learn we have more blessings than we do problems. That's why I have moved around intentionally the prayer concerns and the blessings. And have you noticed what started happening? Come on, somebody please tell me you noticed it. I just didn't do it for nothing. Have you noticed more praises now than concerns? It used to be the other way around. It used to be more concerns than praises. Just by being willing to do what we hadn't done before. To focus on. Do you know how full your cup is? Do you know that it's running over? Do you? Have you noticed? Do you know how many people in the world today can't do what you're doing right now? How many of you own more than one Bible? Does anybody here own more than one Bible? Come on. If you own more than one, you got. Do you know how many Christians in the world today don't have one? That they share a page. Do you know how your cup overflows? I'm looking out there, and you folks are dressed pretty good too. I got the same thing I've wore for, 25 years, I'm going on. I feel like Matlock. Did anybody ever watch Matlock? Yeah. Did you see, ever look at his closet? He had the same row of suits, and he'd go in there and try to figure out. They were all the same. And I was wondering, so I just have the one. It's always the same one, But you're looking good. You dress good. I've noticed you got the ones of you that have hair. Have it pretty neatly trimmed, and you've actually paid for a haircut. I've noticed that some of you've got these windshields on too. Glasses, them things let you see, right? How could you do without them? Carrie, could you drive without your glasses? She can't drive with them either. She does her best driving with her eyes closed. She says she has survived many an accident, seeing it coming, closing her eyes, and when she opens them, it's all over. Am I telling the truth, honey? The angels do. Yeah, she inspired that God Jesus take the wheel. She inspired that song. Can't do it. Ah! Here we go. Anyway, I forgot what other point I was even making with that. I'm getting old. I got old. Getting older. But notice what he says in verse 6. Because of all of this, because you are my God, because I am your sheep, because I rely on you, because I depend on you, because you've blessed me in so many ways, and I've noticed those blessings, you've got them. Blessings of the glasses. I didn't forget what I was saying. The blessings of glasses that let you see. Bibles that let you see and have and experience the Word of God. Friends and family gathered around you. Birthday celebrations and peanut butter chocolate chip cakes. Ain't happening, brother. I love you, but ain't happening. I did let the family have what they wanted yesterday. If they didn't get it yesterday, they're out of luck. I'm just kidding. I'm a diabetic, and I know that slice of cake and ice cream I had last night was not the best thing I could have had, but it sure was good. I can't help it. I'm a David, maybe. But look what happens in verse 6. How many of you want to leave a legacy behind? A real legacy. I'm not talking about a monument down on the corner. How many of you want to leave a legacy behind? A real one. David says, now that this, I'm a sheep and I'm going, and God, you've got me, and we're going through this. Did you know you're anointed too? God chose you. Jesus died for you. The blood of Jesus is an anointing for you. Now David says, because of this, surely. Because of this, because of God's work, because of God's presence, because I'm a sheep and not a shepherd, because of all this, surely two things are going to be the result of this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It shall be my legacy. It shall be what I leave behind. May people know that surely I lived in goodness and mercy. In other words, I extended grace. I extended love. I did the right things. I did the best I could because God was my shepherd. Because I was a sheep and didn't try to be more, but relied on God, trusted on God, believed in God's anointing, believed in God's presence, and I could be more than anything else. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will reach that place where God has promised me to be, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Church, we need to be David. We need to be sheep. We need to give it over to him, follow him, let him direct our lives, direct our course, and may we leave a legacy of mercy and grace behind. I don't care if they say he had a lot of power tools. I don't care if they say he drove a Ford truck. I want my family, I want my friends and my community to know mercy and grace were part of my life, part of what I lived, not just what I did. I want to leave that behind, that surely goodness and mercy. Yeah, maybe that means I'm a sucker. Maybe that means I'm a little too soft. Maybe I let too many people by with so many things. What about God? He ought to smoke most of us. Yeah, just think about what God puts up with. I believe I could put up with just a little bit too. Words to live by. Words to live with, words to live for, is David's psalm. The king of Israel left us a gem here, a treasure, much to unpack, much to hold on to. May we today know the words of the psalmist to be true. May our faith in Christ let us trust in God. For Jesus said in John, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And I will lay down my life for my sheep. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, let us reflect on where we are in our journey. Let us reflect on our relationship with you. Father, I would pray to always remember, I am a sheep. But I also pray that I always remember, you are my shepherd. You are my redeemer, my deliverer, my comforter, my hope, my strength, my joy, my rising up, and my laying down, my day of peace, and even the darkest of times. May I know you to be the Lord, my God, my shepherd. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. And now may the shepherd lead us as we go forth to serve. May we depend on him. May we trust in him. May we find comfort in his rod and in his staff. May we find peace in his pastures, nourishment, and freshness in the water he provides. Now may the peace and grace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.